You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where Jim and Bobby Jean Bell.
Where readers and writers meet.
Correct. We might say just a quick word here. We had a little mechanical difficulty that I think all you people out there in listenership land understand. We're back, and we're getting started with our great interview here with Deanna Dickinson McCall.
Yes, we are live, and so alive. Things happen, right?
Right.
So without any delay, we want to bring on our good friend, Deanna Dickinson McCall. You're just going to be hearing her voice this evening, but she is live and with us. Hello, Deanna.
Hello. How are you guys?
Okay.
We're great. I am now going to officially introduce you. I just wanted to make sure we were all together. Tonight's featured
finally,
guest.
I think so.
Yes, finally. Deanna Dickinson McCall currently ranches in the mountains of New Mexico with her husband, Dave. From a long line of ranchers, Deanna and her husband spent 22 years raising their three children on a remote Nevada ranch without electricity or phones.
Wow.
The stories she writes are generous slices of this life. They are tales of gritty existence, simple, honest love, a code of honor still upheld, and beating overwhelming odds. They are about the people and land of today's West. Her voice of experience cannot be mistaken as you read and are drawn into her writing, her poetry. And we have been blessed to hear Deanna live many times. Her poetry opens a door, allowing you deep into her world, often touching a heartstring as she writes of the ranch life and people she loves, or sends her reader into laughter as her wry humor rings true. Please welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, award-winning poet, author, columnist, journalist, and ranch chef, Deanna Dickinson McCall. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Deanna, tell our listeners and our live audience, so where are you calling in from tonight?
I'm actually calling in from the ranch that we live on, which is in the southern Sacramento Mountains of New Mexico.
And let's see. Do you want to ask her that question about growing up?
Well, why don't you give us a little background, Deanna, for our audience, you know, kind of how you grew up on a ranch and some of the things that you went through in the remote areas that you used to live.
Well, of course, like you stated, I'm several generations that my family has done this. I am, out of my siblings, the only one who stayed with it and married and raised my kids on ranches. The majority of the time that they grew up was on a very remote northeastern Nevada ranch. And it is the one that you previously mentioned about living without electricity and all of that good stuff, and finally getting a cell phone years later and homeschooling or one-room school and boarding out for high school. So, but all the kids did go on and do at least some college. So I think things worked out pretty well. They're probably the last generation for many people to live the way they did and to grow up under those circumstances.
When did you discover that you had storytelling genes in your DNA?
Oh, I think when I was little, I preferred to go with my dad to, he had a couple of ranches at the time, and I much preferred that over anything else. And spending time, my grandparents were usually on one of the ranches, and spending time with them and dad. And I've often laughed because one way I learned my ABCs was through him teaching me how to read cattle brands.
Oh, how interesting.
That is interesting. We recently had an author on, Randy, who had written that book, Brand Chaser, and it was all about a woman brand inspector. So we're beginning to learn a little bit ourselves about brands.
About brands, right?
About brands. Let's see. You collaborated on a wonderful poetry book. Jim, you want to hold it up right here to the camera if you can. Split reins. First, I'd like to ask, what is a split rein?
That's good. Okay. Janelle, the co-author, the painter, I should say, the artist of the book, she and I looked at names, and we both decided that split reins really made the title for two different reasons. Split reins are pretty synonymous with more of a Southwest riding or the earlier stages of a horse. They are independent, yet they work together. And so therefore we thought, yep, that's a great title for the book. And I think if I remember correctly, I think Randy Houston made a review or something to the order and brought that up.
Yes, you wrote
about how they are independent
forward.
And you work together. Yeah. And so we thought that was pretty cool.
And it is perfect. This is an interesting collaboration. As you say, Janelle is the artist. So which came first, painting or poem?
The paintings came first, and I wrote to the paintings. Janelle would send me a painting. I did actually have a few. I think there were maybe three or four poems I already had written that I could look at the painting and say, you know, this will work with this painting. So I was lucky in that way.
Yeah, and they're just wonderful. You also did a CD. Well, you have done two CDs. I'm holding this, since you don't know what I'm doing, Deanna, I'm going to tell you. I'm holding up the CD Riding, and as well as the album, I'll Ride Through It. And some of the poems that are in Split Reins are also on the album, I'll Ride Through It. We would love to hear you recite a couple of those poems. Is that good? Are you feeling up to that tonight with our technical challenges that we started with?
Oh, sure. Is there one in particular that you would like to hear?
Let me, 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Okay. I will do that for you. And this was, of course, you've got the book, but the painting, I looked at them and thought, yep, they're like people. So this is 5 o'clock somewhere. I hear them clatter off the hill, hoofs scattering rocks, acting silly like horses will, sliding down on hocks. The day is over and they'll arrive, snorting and playing at the tank, almost take a nosedive while acting mean and rank. Like good Baptists or boozers, they gather at the water hole. There are no sinners or losers. From stud to mare to foal. I see them splash and play, fight for the best place, for settling down today after the wild foot race. Drawing long, satisfying pulls with legs still spread and askew, sucking a bloating bellyful like some folks I once knew. I believe I saw the stud wink at that pretty young mare, and I'm sure they do think it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, I love that one. There's another one, Deanna, that we were talking about the other night. I think it's He and I. I'm looking for the illustration. Let's see. He and I. Yes. How about that one? He and I.
Okay. Do you remember what page that was on?
I can tell you what page. It's 106.
Okay. So I will actually have it near me. Okay. Yeah, this one was written about my husband and I when I realized I write all this poetry, but I very, very rarely write about us working, you know, day by day, every day on most days. And I thought, oh, I really need to do that. And so that's actually, the poem came about, and this was one of the few ones that I had already written that I felt like fit that painting. We rode through brush laden with thorn and berry, under showers of green needles and cones. On narrow ridges, we rode carefully and wary, circling boulders, sliding on loose stone. We rode through the gilded world of fall, where squirrels scampered with foodstuff, while bull elk bugled their chilling call from a mountainside, steep and rough. We rode for the first gather, he and I, watching for cattle hiding in brush, the silent ones that let you ride by, others exploding like quail flushed. We rode on a golden day of early autumn, when the snakes stretch out to sleep, trailing Corriente cows to the bottom, through mountains high, canyons deep. We rode in silence while nature spoke, in tongues of breeze, wing, and cry, and the snap of twigs critters broke, told of silent watchers nearby. We rode for the first gather of the fall, he and I, in apple crisp air, heady as red wine, trailing cattle while the earth sighed at cows and riders in golden sunshine.
That's wonderful. If we're going to do one more, and then after this one, Sam will just put you on notice that we'll do our first ad. But let's have one more, Deanna. This one, even though we are not horse people or ranchers, this can't, it will touch your heart regardless. Last Horse in Dad's String, and it's page 76. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I think if you even, if this can relate to dogs, to any animal that you're attached to. Mm-hmm. He's staring at me with his old weepy eye, and I know he's wondering why. It's me that caught him today. Doesn't know his friend's gone away. He was my daddy's, born on this place, used to big country, wide open space. He learned to be a cow horse while young, and sometimes Dad got his bell rung. He did learn, often the hard way, but he sure earned his keep and pay. That's way with the good ones. They're smart, loaded with lots of bottom, big heart. Daddy kept him, chose him till the end, knew he was riding on a friend. They shared so many long miles and days, grew accustomed to each other's ways. Dad's gone now, but I'll keep my promised word. Let this old boy run outside with the herd. I can feel tears on my cheek as I let him go. But Dad's watching and smiling, I know.
Oh, that's such a wonderful piece. We've been listening to our guest, Deanna Dickinson McCall, and she's calling in from kind of a remote area of New Mexico, and she's just been reading live poems that she has written that are in the book Split Reins and also on her album. Deanna Dickinson McCall's I'll Ride Through It was sort of my mantra for the last couple of years, Deanna, even though I'm not an equestrian. I felt like I was quoting that all the time. We're going to be back with her in just a moment. In the meantime, let's take a listen to Richard Polinelli and Tuscany Bay Books.
Hey, everybody. Richard Polinelli with Tuscany Bay Books. And if you're a reader looking for the next best adventure for your summertime reading or, you know, coming up on the winter, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com and check out our amazing bookshelf filled with books by some of the best authors out there in science fiction, fantasy, mystery thrillers, westerns, you name it. We've got something for you to read. And if you're an author who has just finished your manuscript and you're looking for a publisher, come to TuscanyBayBooks.com. Fill out our submission form. We'll take a look at it and we'll see if we can get you published and get you doing what you should be doing, which is writing your very next book. TuscanyBayBooks.com, that's your place to go if you're a reader or a writer. And now back to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.
Now.
Listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Jim and Bobby Jean Bell. We were just talking to Deanna Dickerson McCall, and we have just talked a lot about some great poetry.
Did you have questions for her about poetry, though, that we didn't get to yet?
You know, I think I just really had one. Do you have a favorite? Deanna, did you have a favorite one of all these?
Well, you know, I don't. And, you know, you had mentioned, actually, I've had several CDs out, but the one that came out before All Right Through It was Writing. And it had some poems on it that are also in that book, which I had forgotten about. So I was glad that Bobby Jean brought it up. But boy, for favorites, it's always really tough. And I've written so many poems because I've written so long that it makes it hard.
You know, I'm sure it is. It kind of put you on the spot with that question. Let's ask another question. Your co-collaborator, the artist, how did you two folks meet?
Actually, we met through Facebook online and then made arrangements to meet in person. And that's when the idea of the book actually came about. Janelle actually had that in mind when she asked if we could meet. And that's when we decided, yeah, we could do it and figured a way how to do it, because she's quite a distance away. She lives on the Gila River up out of Lordsburg, actually. And so we're quite a distance. And we did get together, I think, once or twice to sign books, and we would meet in Las Cruces.
Oh, in Las Cruces.
You know, it's always amazing to me, like, you see a picture and you can write a song or you can write a poem. It's amazing to me that an artist can do this, because I can look at something and say, well, I think I understand this, but I don't know how I'm going to put it to pen to paper.
Yeah, I don't know. It well, Jim Jones and I were talking. He was here last weekend, and he was talking about, he thought, brought up that maybe a difference between songwriting and poetry, that poems really have to put you there. They have to give you a really good visual. And maybe that's something true about, I mean, every author aspires to give the reader a great picture, but it goes back to the old saying of a picture is worth a thousand words.
I did. I'm so glad that we're talking a little bit now about that creative partnership, because you have several creative partnerships and two Wrangler Awards. Last week, of course, Jim was on the show and we talked a bit about the Wrangler that you all received just a little while ago for the song Old Horses and Old Men, which Jim and your husband Dave and you collaborated on. And the album, mm-hmm. All Right Through It, I think you had also won a Wrangler for, and that was also a collaboration. Tell us a little bit about that backstory to the album All Right Through It.
Jim Jones, Randy Houston, and I very often perform together. Of course, they're both wonderful singers, songwriters, musicians, that kind of thing. And they had, we were all trying to remember where it started, but one of them at one point said, "You want us to accompany you behind the poetry?" And I thought, boy, that might be pretty tough to do. You know, I didn't know, because when I recite poetry, I generally don't have something in front of me. It's memory recitation. Mm-hmm. And we found out it worked out pretty well. And so we went in the studio and actually cut that album. And I was very, very pleased. Those guys are such geniuses with music that I was just great. We walked out of there and both of them said, "I think we did some magic in there." And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
And you did. It's a wonderful poetry CD. And I think a lot of that is the enhancement that the music brings to the words and to your voice. It just also makes it very enjoyable to listen to. There's another project that you collaborated on, and that is the cookbook. But you know what? Let's hold that thought for just a moment. And Sam, why don't you go ahead and play the Out West Shop ad? And when we come back, we'll be talking about cooking.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Now, one other thing, when you shop at OutWest.com, OutWestShop.com, please use coupon code RADIO, RADIO, in all caps, and save $10 off a purchase of $75 or more.
And Deanna, that means you too. I know you have shopped with us many times.
Oh, I always enjoy going into your shop. You have some really unique items.
Thank you for that. Well, since we're talking about creative projects, I think that it is so fun that you also collaborated on a cookbook, and you'll be the first author, cookbook author, that we'll have on the show. And we're going to go ahead. Jim is holding the cookbook up to the camera right now. Cowboy Cuisine, Beyond Biscuits and Beans. And you collaborated with, who did you work with this on?
A wonderful friend named Gay Gardella. She and I've been friends for quite a while, and she'd always wanted to do it. And when COVID hit, I thought, this is the time to do this. And I was really excited to do it with her. We had a lot of fun. We do a lot of cooking together and enjoy a lot of really good meals. And very often experiments. We'll go to each other's homes and say, okay, tonight's an experiment. So,
well, it's a fun book. Jim, you want to mention the one? Jim tried out a recipe. He's a great cook. What did you try? What was the recipe?
We tried out paniola shrimp. That's good. Hawaiian shrimp from the, a little bite. You know, I might have to say right now, each recipe comes with a little story or a little preface before the recipe itself. And you talk about here about the Hawaiian cowboys and all the ranches and the big ranches in Hawaii. And I know that most ranchers probably are very familiar with that, but I think some of us dudes probably aren't familiar with how many cowboys are really in Hawaii. Who would have thought? Everybody must wear a grass skirt and do the hula. Oh,
I don't think so. this was a recipe, I think, contributed by Gay, and Tim did have a good time, and it was really delicious. So how did you all choose what recipes were going to go into the book?
We actually wanted to make sure they were ones that our readers could relatively follow, And we also wanted to represent what a melting pot the West is. So therefore, we have, as Jim mentioned, even Asian recipes from the Basque people, which are pretty predominant in the Great Basin area, and Southwestern cuisine, Mexican, that kind of thing. So we wanted to also tell the reader, okay, particularly with the popularity now, I guess I should say, of Western dining, Western dinner tables, this kind of thing. People want to, and it's more upscale. That's the reason we said beyond, you know, the biscuits and beans, you can present these different foods and still be very much in the West. And of course, some are simple and some are more elaborate type deal. But we wanted to have a really good variety.
You know, I think you did. You know, one thing I noticed, you know, and you spent some time, obviously, in California, but you talk a little bit about the Santa Maria barbecue, and it's really kind of famous. And up there, it's like, that's all you do one weekend is barbecue. And we've been up through that area, and that does go up through the Basque area. One of the recipes in there I almost tried was the Basque soup. But I decided to go with the shrimp instead.
And I know that Hatch chilies and some other New Mexico things are predominant in a lot of the recipes too. Did some of these recipes, Deanna, were they in your family history, or are these all things that you have, you know, put together as a ranch wife and gardener? That are from your, you know, that became family favorites. Tell us a little bit about the history, just overall, and where they came from.
I actually have some old, couple of them, at least, of old family favorites. A couple came from my granny, her old-time cobbler recipe, and it's a very typical old-time Texas cobbler recipe that I don't, you know, my opinion, it can't be improved upon. And the same thing with the original banana pudding recipe. You know, there's no pudding mixes. It had the meringue on top, just like when I was a kid. And there's that kind of thing. And a couple, my granddad liked to cook. And so I picked up different things that he would make. So there are those, and then there are some that I basically came up with as well. So they go back over 100 years to present day.
So every cook probably would have this kind of question as we go through cookbooks. So when you say, you know, half a cup of something or half a teaspoon, when you're cooking yourself, Deanna, are you actually measuring, or are you one of those great cooks that just knows I need to put this much in, and you have no idea how much that was? And so for the cookbook, you actually had to measure what you were doing. How did you come up with your?
I did, and did it a couple of times, because, you know, a tablespoon is that much in the palm of my hand. I keep coffee cups in my flour and sugar containers, old ones that were actually wedding gifts or Melmac from almost 50 years ago. And I pick that up, and it's a cup, or I shake it till I say, ah, that's a half a cup, you know. So on the recipes, because I wanted everybody to be able to come out with the right results, I did it time and time again to make sure, okay, that tablespoon in the palm of my hand, I can sift it over to a tablespoon measure and make sure that that is correct.
Go ahead, Jim.
You know, speaking of that, there were two places in the recipe for the shrimps that we prepared, the cowboy shrimp. They required a pinch of salt. And Bobby says, What is a pinch of salt? And I says, well, to me, you know, it's about a quarter of a teaspoon. But that's...
Yeah, always those pinches and things, a tad, a pinch, you know. You also have, yes, at the very back of the book, they were very fun to read. You have some tips, and one that I really enjoyed, and if you would want to share this one, It was a tip about how to measure things like shortening, soft butter, or peanut butter. And I thought it was brilliant because I hate measuring those things. Do you want to share how you what your trick is on how you measure those soft ingredients?
Sure. I learned that one. Oh, probably I was in my 20s when I learned that. And I thought, oh, my gosh, why didn't I know this before? When you are after, say, a half cup, the easy thing to do, and use, you know, cold tap water, put a half cup of cold tap water in, add that liquid, or not that liquid, but that butter, that shortening, that sticky stuff, usually it's a fat, and add it to the cup until it is one full cup.
Yeah,
then you just
rises.
Walk over to the sink, pour the liquid out, and what you have is the half cup.
I love that. That might cause me to go back to doing some baking. I haven't done it in a really long time. Oh, goodness. Let's see. What's another? Do we have another recipe book question?
Well, I just want to mention this cute little story that you have that you preface one of the recipes with it, which I don't remember which one. I think you remember you, and I think it's your daughters who are probably pretty young, but it's a new way of making butter.
Oh.
You kind of fill a gallon jar with cream and you just kind of roll it back and forth across the floor, as I remember. I guess you made the butter and kept them out of trouble at the same time.
Yep, that worked. Both of my daughters, they would sit when they were quite small at opposite ends of the kitchen, and I would give them that gallon jar with cream in it, and they rolled it back and forth until the butter came. But that even kind of goes back. I've seen ranch women take it. They're going to make a smaller amount into a quart jar and walk around the house shaking that until the butter comes. And then, of course, there were always the old tales of my grandmother, my granny, that they would tie jars of heavy cream onto their saddles, and then they would ride. And by the time they were done doing whatever they had to do horseback, they came back, and the butter had formed from the motion.
I heard that one before.
Another form of multitasking, right?
Right. Even back then.
That's great.
Even back then.
We're going to take our last short ad spot. Since we're talking about a great book, we're going to listen to our Out West Shop bookshop.org affiliate ad. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of who you write for and a little bit about your creative process. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story. And we're back. We're speaking with our guest, Deanna Dickinson McCall, and this is really fun.
Yeah, it is.
I hope you're having as good a time, Deanna, as we are.
Oh, yep, you bet. It's enjoyable.
We've been talking about, of course, poetry and cookbooks, and I know you've also written some fiction. But I know in chatting with you the other night, there's some other things that you write for. I think you're a columnist, and you're also contributing to a very important national magazine. Do you want to talk a little bit about those other writing forms that you do?
Okay. Well, years ago, I did do, when I was taking additional journalism classes, I learned to write some how to do articles. So the transition to actually even cooking because you learn how to do that, how to, basically, wasn't too bad. I do write a monthly column for the Arizona New Mexico Stockman, and it's just kind of similar to the cookbook. I give a little story and a recipe. And I am also a contributing writer to Range Magazine, and that's a little bit different for me. I go and interview ranchers, ranch families, and take photographs and tell their story. So that you know, rather than the fiction I normally do, that's new for me. But it is also fun, and I think has a really good cause behind it. So I'm happy with that. But I also have written a novella and short stories. I've got a couple of books of those and one book that's a combination of short stories and poetry. So kind of all the way across, I guess, the board.
Mm-hmm. When do you find time to write?
You know, that's a lot of people say, you know, you got to sit down first thing in the morning and dedicate this much time and so on. When you are ranching, that doesn't happen that often. Sometimes I can squeeze some in the morning, particularly if it's wintertime or something like that. And it's like, well, I can sit down and write for an hour or something while I wait for the sun to come up or for it to warm up a little. And sometimes in the evenings as well. But I wish I had time to sit and simply dedicate to writing. I haven't reached that point yet, but I hope to.
Do you, let's say that you're out, because you are an active rancher. So let's say you and Dave are out doing some, you're on horseback and you're doing some of the basic kinds of chores that you have to do. And an idea comes into your mind. How do you not forget it?
I repeat it several times in my head and very often it's very vague, or if it's a poem, I'll come up with 2 to 4 lines. And if I'm fortunate enough and that we're working cattle or something here at the house, as soon as I get a break, I can walk in and write down what I've got. Or if I'm driving by myself in the car, because everything's a long distance, I will come up with stuff. And I'll jot down notes while I am, you know, driving or riding. So much of our country is rough. It's really tough to have a little book and pencil or something with you. And I've usually got my hands full working the cattle. It's usually Dave and I. So I don't have that, you know, the ability of, wait, we're in the middle of this. I have to write this down. That doesn't go over real big.
Probably not.
Let's see. When you collaborate, like when you have, we were working with Jim Jones, and I know you just were continuing to work on a new project with him last weekend. Do you were able to be face-to-face, but does it always happen that way? Or are you, you know, using email or Zoom, or how do you go ahead and collaborate with poetry and music? What's the process there?
Usually email. I will have an idea, some lyrics, and I will send them to like Jim or Doug Figgs. And there's a few other people I've sent some ideas, and I'm like, okay, I'm not a musician, but see if you can rearrange this and see what kind of melody you come up with. Because, you know, some poetry and songwriting will be pretty close, but other times it's like, no, and, you know, they'll need to rearrange and get that certain rhythm and then change it for a bridge and that sort of thing. So that we basically do it by email, and then when they've got a rough draft, they'll email that to me, and either, you know, MP3, some sort of a recording, so I get to hear it and see what I think. So it was kind of nice this weekend. Jim already had that ready, a rough draft, and there were a couple of lines that we wanted to get smoothed out, and I think we did it. And I was very happy with what the two of us did just the other day, so.
So with this project, which one of you had the idea first and knew the partner to work with?
Like, well, you know, sometimes one of them will write to me and say, I want to write a song about blah, blah. And okay. I'll say, okay, let me think. Or somebody will approach me and say, I'd like to write with you. And so then I'll think of that person and their style and maybe what might work. And I'll send them something, you know. In the case of Old Horses and Old Men, that just came to me one day, and I walked in the house and scribbled a few lines down. And then when I had time, I went back and I sent it to Jim, and I, you know, what do you like this? What do you think of this for a song? And that's how we did it. And he and I worked on it for quite a while. And my husband, Dave, happened to come in, and he's, what are you doing? And I says, I don't know. We just, you know, we want something else. And he looked at it and came up with two lines that Jim just loved. Mm-hmm. So he got added to the credits.
Yes. Well, and Jim said that those two lines actually sort of made it all work. They were very important. And of course, you were with Jim at the Wrangler with your husband as well at that awards. And it was your second time, but I just can't imagine. I mean, I see pictures of the awards. I've watched them live. I can't imagine what it's like to be there or to go up and receive the award. You want to tell us a little bit about what that magical experience is like?
Well, when I got the call for the first one, I thought they were kidding, because I had never even dreamed of ever winning a Wrangler. You know, to me and to a good many people that are in, you know, performing in the Western arts, there isn't a higher award. It's, you know, formerly the National Cowboy Hall of Fame, and to win and be presented that is, yeah, it's really emotional. Very much so. And you're there with the top of the top for anything in the Western field. You know, the first year I went, and Jim didn't get to go, which was really kind of sad that he didn't get to go. And his group has won other Wranglers too, besides the last two that I was involved with. But to be there, you're with, you know, people like Kevin Costner and just the top people. This year it was Taylor Sheridan, you know, the writer and director of Yellowstone in 1883, mm-hmm. And Kurt Russell, people that are iconic. And to be there, and Reba McEntire, the year that the album won, I had to perform. And, you know, I look down and there's Reba McEntire and her family at my feet. And so it's pretty awing, and it's something else.
And it looks just so, not glamorous. Glamorous is maybe not that. It just looks like, and from whatever I've heard, everyone is just treated like red carpet treatment over the whole event. And special things planned, and just, you know, you're all really treated, I don't want to say like celebrities, you're really honored. You really feel like you've arrived, and you're really being honored by the best of the best.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And, you know, the Red Steagall, anybody, of course, Waddy's always there, Mitchell, right. It's something else, and it's, you know, it's black tie, formal wear, and they even choreograph the day before going on stage and receiving your award.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's see. I'm just looking at time, and we still have a few. We're still have a few minutes. I'm excited about that. Why don't you? Do you have any tips for new writers? Any pearls of wisdom that you'd like to share?
Write and walk away. Write and walk away. Are some that, and it took me forever to learn that. That's the reason I would stress that. another thing is I really pare things down, as opposed, particularly in poetry. Someone else could tell the same story I am, and they might do it in 2 pages, and I might do it in 4 stanzas. And I was very fortunate to have Andy Wilkinson as a mentor, and I would sit down with him, and I'd have 2 or 3 page long poem, and he'd say, "You've already said this, you know, you can knock this out." And to just winnow it down to you have just the meat left. You don't need to keep going on and be redundant. And it, you know, bears to mind that the old expression tuna fish. Well, everybody knows that tuna is a fish. You don't need to write tuna fish.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and those basic type things, and that helped me, I think, a great deal. That, yes. And being heartfelt, you know, it has to, again, write what you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mm-hmm. know, research it so thoroughly mm-hmm. that, and you make sure that it's correct.
Are there some poets that you enjoy reading or listening to?
Oh, always. So many that it's hard to list. Of course, Waddy, everybody does. Red Steagall, those go without saying. Jay Snyder writes some wonderful mm-hmm. poetry. So does Chris Isaac. And the ones that really move you. And a couple of that were, particularly a lady, that was very much my favorite, and she's passed away untimely. Her name was Sue Wallace, and I would love to see Sue's work brought back out and mm-hmm. performed mm-hmm. again. She was a very, very wonderful poet, but there's just so many, and you know, the ones I've listed in addition to them, I probably shouldn't even have started. Somebody will have their feelings hurt.
We put you on the spot on that. Yeah, we put you on the spot. There was no rehearsing that question.
No, there's some wonderful writers out there.
Yeah. You are also a member of Western Writers of America, right? Western Writers,
yes.
WWA.
Yes.
And I think that's mm-hmm. been a great group. Do you want to just take a moment and share a little bit about that organization?
I would encourage anyone writing anything in the Western genre to join them. They have helped me tremendously. I have just learned so much. And it's great camaraderie that they greet you with open arms. There are opportunities as well. You get to meet publishers. You get to hear what publishers want. They have workshops with some of the great writers, and most of them will gladly sit down with you and talk to you and give you advice. And to me, they're one of the greatest organizations I have ever belonged to.
Mm. Deanna, this has been so fun. How can people find you? Because I know off your website, they can also find your books. Where do they go?
You can go to, of course, www.deannadickinsonmccall.com. I also have a author Facebook page that is Deanna Dickinson McCall. And then I have my everyday page, and a lot of people go through that is just Deanna Dickinson.
Well, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We're just going to take another moment to kind of wrap today's show. This was great fun, and we appreciate you bearing with us as we got through our little hiccup in the beginning. Next week, our guest is the author of 4 novels and a book reviewer for the New York Journal of Books, Claire Fullerton. She'll be joining us, and we'll be chatting both about her books and how to prepare for a successful book launch. Let's see. We want to thank Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio. For all of you that might be listening on the audio at latalkradio.com or on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page. And we lost Queen Elizabeth today.
We did.
Oh, that's a loss. But 96 years as a monarch and as a wonderful woman, role model for women everywhere, I think. And you found two great quotes of hers. Do you want to share? Do you want to share those?
I don't know where they are.
I have them right here in big type so you can read them. That's it for the, yeah.
It's worth remembering that it is often the small steps, not the giant leaps, that bring about the most lasting change. In my favorite, I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service.
So the question I'm asking myself for next week is, how can I be of service? We really thank you for joining us tonight. On behalf of Jim and me, till we rendezvous again next week, it's always a great day out west.
You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell.